Forest Service researchers expect 2015 to continue the trend of above-average fire activity. That's according to testimony from Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell that he recently delivered to the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources. That forecast means the Forest Service's costs could exceed $1 billion. Chief Tidwell joins me now. Good morning. Thanks for being on the show.
Good morning.
All right. So first of all, given all of the things that the Forest Service does, how much of the what percentage of effort and dollars are required by firefighting?
Well, today it takes about 40% of our annual budget to deal with being prepared and then also suppressing wildfires. And it's continued to increase over the last really 10 years. We're seeing our fire seasons today are definitely hotter, drier, and much longer. In fact, in many parts of the country, 60 to 80 days longer than what we were just seeing 15 years ago.
And what about the staffing required to do all of this firefighting? You have a lot of temporary and seasonal firefighters, but it sounds like they're almost getting to be half-time.
Well, our firefighters have gone from being kind of part-time seasonal employees to many parts of the country now. They work year-round. That's one of the things that's changed. And we have around 10,000 folks that are ready at any time to respond to the call to be able to suppress fires. But then we also rely on the other federal agencies, the state agencies, the county, and local fire. It's the way that we address wildland fire in this country. It takes all of us working together to be able to suppress these fires.
Now, what is the cause of the increased number of fires? Is it purely climatic conditions, or is there something else going on here?
Well, there's a combination of things, but it's definitely the climate. That's created these longer fire seasons that allow the fuels to dry out for a longer period of time. And so when we do get a fire started, they have a tendency to almost be explosive and be able to escape from our initial attack efforts. That being said, we still suppress 98% of the fires where we take initial attack. So it's just about 2% of the wildfires, the ones that you report on, it's the ones that people read about. And it just, it's a quite an accomplishment for our firefighters and our pilots to be able to have that success rate.
And how do you stage the firefighters that might be needed, because you never know exactly where a fire is going to break out?
Well, we don't know exactly where, but we definitely track the weather. And so depending on what time of year, we pre-position resources around the country to be at least in the area where we expect to have the fire activity. And then today we have the technology so that we can track, you know, the thunderstorms. We see where the lightning's occurring. And when we see that, we bring on resources. We move aircraft into that area. So if it's a kind of a weather-related fire, if it's a natural fire, it's a little easier for us to predict. It's the human-caused fires that sometimes make it a little more difficult for us to be able to be pre-positioned to deal with those.
So this is people that drop a lighted cigarette or fail to put out a campfire properly?
Yes, it's just we still get a lot of fires. In fact, in parts of the country, it's human-caused fires that really are the problem. And that's one of the things that I always ask people to be thinking about that throughout the fire season, to be very careful when you're outdoors, because most of these fires are accidental. It comes from somebody not putting their campfire completely out or using equipment. It's things like if a chain off of a trailer going down the road and that chain is just hitting the pavement, that can create a spark that'll start a fire. And so the more that we can do to just prevent these human-caused fires, it makes it a lot easier for our firefighters and definitely reduces the threat to our communities.
And talk about the air assets that the Forest Service has. I tend to think of it as ancient planes that are converted into tankers. What kind of a fleet do you have, and what do they do?
Well, we're in the process of modernizing our large air tanker fleet that today still has some World War II aircraft that we're moving out of those and replace that with more modern aircraft and using some jet airplanes today. And so we're moving forward with modernizing that fleet. But we also rely on the Air Force Reserve and the Air Force Guard to provide additional aircraft when we need it. So when it comes to the aircraft, we're going to have the aircraft that we need, whether it's the large air tankers, whether it's the helicopters that we need. The thing that people need to understand that when you get a very large fire that's is moving across the landscape, that often those planes will not make a difference, and we have to wait until the fire moves into an area where we can actually effectively suppress it. The other thing is that when we have a fire that's really racing across the countryside, it's often wind-driven, and when the winds get high, we cannot use the aircraft. They're not effective, and it's not safe. But when we're able to use that along with firefighters on the ground, that's where we can be very effective and make that difference and maintain that 98% success rate.
Yeah, because sometimes you see those films or videos of the planes overflying a fire and they squirt out some mist from the back. It looks like spitting onto your grill, really, when it's flaming. It doesn't seem to be that effective.
Well, it's a mixture of chemicals that actually retards the fire. It's retardant. And so when that retardant is laid across the vegetation, it actually slows the fire down, cools it off a little bit, and allows the firefighters to get in there and be able to construct a line. It will not stop the fire by itself. It just slows down the spread, gives us a little more time to get our firefighters in there where they can safely construct the line and then be able to stop the fire. So it takes a combination of our air resources, but it's really the firefighters, the folks, the men and women that are on the ground, they're the ones that put out fires.
We're speaking with Chief of the U.S. Forest Service, Tom Tidwell. And what about in terms of Forest Service activities before a fire, creating fire breaks, clearing brush? This seems to be a good way to prevent fires from what I've read, but sometimes you run into opposition from local homeowners and landowners.
Well, today there's more and more people that understand the work that needs to be done to thin out the brush and thin out the trees, not only on their personal property, but also on the adjacent national forests. So today we're doing a better job by working with communities to be able to thin out the forest so that when we do get a start, that it burns at a lower severity, it's easier for the firefighters to be able to suppress that fire, and it really reduces the threat. But it takes all of us working together. If we're just doing the fuels treatments on the national forest and the private land still has a lot of brush and a lot of trees on it, our project is not going to be very effective. But today, there's more and more private landowners who want to work with us. And when we do that, it makes all the difference. We can still have a large wildfire, but it burns at a lower severity so that it's easier for our firefighters to suppress it. It significantly reduces the threat to the communities because the fire stays on the ground and doesn't get up into the treetops where it's much more difficult to suppress. And so we are having more and more success every year of making a difference when we can take the proactive steps to be able to reduce the fuels before the fire season starts. But once again, it takes a combination of all of us working together to really make a difference.
And as chief of the Forest Service, of course, you speak for the trees, and you are telling Congress that probably you're going to take around the median estimate of $1.2 billion this coming year for firefighting. What is your total budget for Forest Service, and what else do you do when you're not fighting fires?
Well, our total budget is around a little less than $5 billion. And where firefighting is a big part of our mission, but it's to be able to manage the National Forest System lands for all the public, for the recreational uses, for the fish and wildlife, to be able to manage the forest, to maintain the resiliency so that they can recover quickly from disturbances. And it's also the water and the clean air. It's a tremendous asset that we have in this country, our forested landscapes, and especially with the water. And just off the national forests alone, 60 million people get their drinking water off the national forests. And it saves communities millions of dollars by having such a clean flow of water that definitely reduces the investment in treatment plants. And that's one of the key benefits. And then there's over 160 million people that get out and recreate every year on the National Forest. And for many people, this is a place where they come to play. That's one of the benefits of the National Forest, that there's a place where you can do almost everything when it comes to recreation, whether you're going for a mountain bike ride, whether you're going wanting to ride your motorcycle, whether you're going to take your horse out for a horseback ride, or go for a walk, go for a hike, go fishing. That's one of the great benefits that we have in this country, is to have these public lands that are available for us to enjoy.
And tell us briefly about the National Cohesive Strategy and how that affects your approach to fires and forest management.
Well, the Cohesive Wildland Fire Management Strategy is something we've been working on over the last 2 years, to be able to recognize what all landowners need to do to work together. So it not only addresses what we need to be doing on the national forests and on the other federal managed lands, but it's also what the states need to be doing, the counties and the cities. And there's really three key points of it. It's one is that we need to be able to have what we call fire-adapted natural communities. And so it's a combination of being able to allow fire to have a role in the ecosystem, but at the same time to be able to manage it so it doesn't threaten communities. And then it's for the private landowners to take the steps that they need to make their human community fire-adapted by taking the steps to remove the brush and thin out the trees on their property. And then the third part of the strategy is, of course, to have the suppression resources so that when a fire does get started, we can effectively suppress it.
Tom Tidwell is the chief of the U.S. Forest Service. Thanks so much for joining me, and have a safe summer.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for the time this morning.